pain. If you'll turn your hymn books with me to hymn number 629. There's a hymn book in front of you, 629. We're going to sing Mansion Over the Hilltop. I'm satisfied with Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the time that we can gather together and that we can celebrate the life of our friend. Lord, thank you so much for allowing each one of us to be a part of Lou's life. Lord, each one of us to be a part of Ray and Ann's life. Lord, as they've been here for the last several years, thank you for allowing us to gather now and to remember the things that were true of him, Lord, and I just pray that you would now comfort us, Lord. We know that Lou's in a better place because of his testimony of salvation, but Lord, we're left with a void. And so, Lord, I just pray that this evening would be honoring and glorifying to you as we remember the loss of our loved one. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Luis Alvarez was born February 25, 1928, in the Bronx, New York. His parents were Alvaro Alvarez and Cecilia Rubio Alvarez. His sister was Cecilia Alvarez. When Lou was in high school in New York, it was closed, so he got to choose which one to go to. He chose Forest Hills High School on the advice of his uncle. It was a very good school. In his senior year, Cornell University invited honor students at Forest Hills to take a scholarship test. Lou's score won him a full scholarship. He left school then to join the Army during the Korean War. After he came out, he continued to serve in the Army Reserves for many years. When he returned from the war, he continued his education at Cornell University until he graduated. His field of study was zoology, and he became a teratologist, which was a biologist studying birth defects from medications. And he worked for DuPont and Monsanto. He loved politics and current events. He married and had five children, Nancy Calzone, Jimmy Alvarez, William Alvarez, Ann Dorn Batala, Mark Alvarez. He was survived by 10 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren, and 14 great-grandchildren. And I was informed that I got those numbers wrong, but it's somewhere close to that. At age 95, Lou came to understand the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He followed the Lord in believers' baptism by immersion. He was a special part of Bible Baptist Church. He graduated into the presence of the Lord on Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. Ready?
First of all, I want to thank everybody for coming and celebrating Lou's life, because he's very much alive right now. He's in the presence of the Lord. He's walking, talking, and he knows more about God than we do right now. You know, I know Lou for about 10 years. He was a hard man, gruffy, some would say. But some people show love by telling you, I love you, and buying things for you, and doing sweet things. That wasn't Lou. Okay? His love came in different forms. You had to peel the onion to get to know him. Okay? The question that I have is, do we peel the onions around the people around us? He made my life full. And I got to tell you something. I'm going to use a word that my wife calls me. He was a turkey butt. Okay? He taught me patience like I never knew patience before. Okay? In time, by mistake, I have ladies out here that cared for Lou while he was alive. And we had nurses that came in from the VA when he was alive, and they told us about getting Lou signed up for some things in the VA, that they would reevaluate him. Understand that he came out of the service affected. You have to understand something. The first thing in combat for Lou was he was asleep one night when he heard buzzing over himself. The buzzing was that he was getting machine gun scraped. He was a medic. He would go out to people that were hurt in a battlefield. At one time, he took out his jacket to lay out his stuff so he can drag a man back. By the time he got back, the jacket was bullet riddled with machine gun holes. And the entire ridge, nobody could believe that he didn't get hit. He called it luck. Forest Hills, that he got to go to Cornell University, he called it luck. That he survived the war in 100 jumps, he called it luck. You know what? At the end, he didn't call it luck. He called it blessings. Because he came to know the Lord. The greatest attribute that he ever did, and he has many, because truly he was a hero in the service, and truly he was a unique individual and accomplished many things. But the greatest thing that he ever did was he accepted our Lord as Savior. as his Savior at 95. So don't stop praying for those that you don't think are there. Okay? You pray. You do your part. God's going to do his part. It took 95 years for Lou to get there. But he got there, folks. Okay? And we're going to see him again. All right? It's a sad time. Okay? Because we're selfish. We're going to miss him. I sit in his room all the time. And I talk to him. Because I miss our talks. Okay? But the truth is, he's in a better place. I want to thank you for coming. Remember his life. Remember that it's never too late for anybody. Okay? You keep the faith. You keep on praying. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for him, even before I met him. He could never understand me and the way we walk. Okay? But then he did understand us. And his greatest joy, guys, was coming here when he could. Okay? And seeing everybody here. He was always thrilled to walk through these doors. Okay? It was a blessing for him. And you were a blessing to him. And you gave him life. I want to thank you. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Ray. I'm going to have an extended scripture reading. And in the midst of it, we're going to stand together and read the 23rd Psalm, which is found in your bulletin. So if you don't have a bulletin, you can get a Bible out of the pew in front of you. But I'm going to be reading a number of passages of scripture, and then I'll have us stand and we'll read the 23rd Psalm. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And let's stand together and read the 23rd Psalm. Together, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And then from Psalm 116, precious is the in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. May God bless the reading of his word. As a pastor, I'm regularly called on to do funerals. People who have lost a loved one want to have a special time to honor and to remember them. Some people think that having some religious leader may in some way assure the one who has passed a better life hereafter. The fact is, immediately at death, a person's spirit enters eternity. Wherever they go, that's where they will be forever. Nothing done here can change that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. But there is a purpose. In fact, there are three purposes primarily for a service like this. The first is to honor the person who's passed away. Lou was my friend. And he still is. I met him through Ray and Ann. We talked, and he began to attend our church. And he then began to attend a Bible study we had on practical theology. He enjoyed the class and often asked insightful questions. Most of us were surprised to learn of his service during the Korean War, as is the case with most who have served honorably. He was very quiet about the things that he accomplished. But the second is to comfort those that are left behind. The Bible makes it clear that when a person dies physically, their spirit lives forever, somewhere. Jesus was crucified between two thieves who at the beginning of the crucifixion mocked him. But then one realized who Jesus was and what kind of person he had been. He rebuked the other dying thief and said that you and I were guilty. We're getting what we deserve. But this man was righteous. And then he said in faith to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus' response to him was, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Immediately from life, when a person dies, they go somewhere. But the final reason for a funeral is to help people prepare for eternity. The Bible makes it clear that what we all really know, life is temporal. In Hebrews 9:27, it says this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Notice both things are sure, death and judgment. Most people, if not all people, consider themselves pretty good, usually in comparison to someone they think is far worse. Years ago, Chuck Colson of the Watergate fame had come to know Christ as a savior. And he had the opportunity to go to Hong Kong for something. And he ended up in a banquet on a Monday night, but on Sunday he had spoken in a nearby church. He was sitting at a table with a number of dignitaries. One of them was actually the wife of the president of Lloyd's of London, and so a very wealthy and influential person. And as they were eating, she said to Mr. Colson, Mr. Colson, I understood you spoke in church this morning or yesterday. He said, yes, that's true. She said, I hope you're not one of those hellfire brimstone preachers, are you? He said, what do you mean by that? She said, you know, the kind of person that always makes people feel bad and tell them how bad they are. Chuck Colson's response was, frankly, the difference between you and Adolf Hitler is very little in God's eyes. It got real quiet around the table. You just don't say things like that to important, influential people. Colson, commenting on that years later, said, I don't know where that lady is today, but I'll tell you right now, she's a lot closer to heaven than she was before. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God does not compare us to one another. He compares us to himself, and his standard is perfection. It isn't whether or not you've been as bad as you could have been. It's that you haven't been as bad as you should, or good as it says, it's because you haven't been as good as you should be. We have all fallen short of what God has commanded. The gospel, the word gospel in our Bibles, literally means good news. The good news is that God made himself, made a way so that you can be forgiven like glue. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, became a man, lived a perfect life, and then was crucified in your place. He took the punishment for sin that you committed. He took the punishment that you deserved when he went to the cross and he died for you. God the Father then raised him from the dead to prove that the sacrifice was enough. Now God offers full forgiveness, a better life here, an eternal life with him in heaven to any and all who will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them right now. Let me read for you again, John chapter 3. Most people know by heart John chapter 3, verse 16, but it is in a context, and you need to understand the context. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If you have what's called a red letter edition, the words of Jesus are found printed in red, and that passage is all in red. Those were the words of Jesus himself. Lou came to understand this. He believed it. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And in his 90s, he made that decision, and that is very rare. If Lou was here today, I believe he would tell you that he loves you. He would perhaps apologize to some and forgive others. But I'm confident that he would tell you that the Bible is true, that you need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ now. Lou's ashes will be scattered at Cornell University, I understand. The only memorial will be what his life did for those he loved. But if you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ like Lou did, that would be a grand and glorious memorial in his name. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to know Lou. Thank you for the person he was. Lord, thank you for the person he became when he came to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it was still Lou, but there was something new. There was something better. There was something exciting. And he passed that on to others. Father, would you let Lou know for us that he's loved and he's missed. And Father, those of us that know Christ as our Savior are looking forward to seeing him again. And Father, if there's someone here or watching this later on that doesn't know Christ, has yet to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, I pray that pillows would be hard, that rest would flee away from them, and that they wouldn't find peace of mind or peace of heart until they finally give themselves to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for this, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Would you take your hymn books and turn to number 617, and we'll stand and sing together, "I'll Fly Away."
Okay. 617, "I'll Fly Away." just before, we're going to have a closing prayer here, and then we'll be dismissed. Just remember that there's some refreshments in the back, and please stick around. Let the family know that you love them, and stick around and visit and different things. The scripture says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And there's nothing that's worth your soul. And so give your heart and life to Jesus. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you'd like to know more about it, please talk to myself or Pastor Mike. We'd love to share with you how you can know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, even tonight. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your patience with us. Thank you for your patience with Lou and the fact that you kept reminding him that you were here and that you were waiting to extend to him salvation. Lord, thank you so much for your patience with each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us now, and pray that the time afterwards would be a time of renewal, and that we would just recharge one another, and that we'd be a refreshment to one another as we enjoy our company together. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.